Hi there, this is Mike Kegley with Eye on the Illini. Tonight we're going to talk about the letter that Josh Whitman had to write, an open letter to the Big Ten. We hearken back to our podcast on Illinois and respect, and it feels like a little more is bubbling up, and for Illini fans, you'll be used to it. And of course, for the non-Illini fans out there, they'll think it's just us. Additionally, tonight we're going to do a little bit of a Big Ten tournament preview that we'll let you listen in on some of the thoughts that we have tonight here on the Illini Guys. Eye on the Illini. It's me, Mike Kegley, one of the co-owners and co-founders of IlliniGuys.com. We also have Larry Smith, a fellow co-founder and owner. We also have Connor Kegley, who does our previews and works on recruiting analysis for us. So we're going to take a spin through these two subjects. So sit down, enjoy yourself. I think we'll have some fun. So let's talk first about what we have with the open letter that Josh Whitman was forced to put together. I thought it was a classy move to explain where the frustration is for Illini fans. And of course, any of you who are baseball fans understand that the record we have would put us ahead of the record that Michigan has. So it does seem strange to just anoint them the champions. And Larry, I think a lot of folks were a little bit mystified by the way things worked from an Illinois standpoint. And I know you've seen an awful lot from your years of covering Final Fours and conference championships and all sorts of big sporting events. Have you seen anything like this? And then what did you think of Josh Whitman's response?
Well, first off, no. But I think at the same time, this is an unprecedented season we're going through, obviously, with COVID and all those things. And but Mike, you mentioned that the thing that we had on IlliniGuys.com about respect and the issue with that. And this goes back to, this is not just a decision now here at the start of March. This goes back to the decision they made back in November to allow percentage to be the champion, to determine the champion. They did that not knowing, again, as we've gone through this in everyday life, we don't know what tomorrow brings. And, you know, I think that considering when you've got that, the fact, again, you go back to where Michigan shuts down for 2 weeks. They come back and they only play two of the five games they missed. When there was time to bring in other, there was time in the schedule to put other games in there. There was a Tuesday night, the night they only lost to Michigan State up in East Lansing. That Michigan and Northwestern both were off that night. Neither played the night before, neither played the next night. Why wasn't that game played? There's the situation where, and just given some context, Nebraska and Maryland were forced to play back-to-back nights to make up those two games. They didn't go cross country. Michigan State and Michigan last weekend played back-to-back games 3 days apart. Why not make them play in East Lansing one day and Ann Arbor the next day? And you could have squeezed in another game to make up. So, you know, when you put all those things together and we've been on Twitter, we've seen all the things, everyone that people have said, it goes back to, again, why was one thing done for Nebraska and one for somebody else? And that's what Brad Underwood was talking about, and that got Michigan's fans, got their dander up when he was saying, we're told to play a game, we just play the game. Because let's face it, nobody on the schedule, nobody looking at Illinois' schedule thought they would go out and win three straight games on the road versus top 25 teams and completely slap the paint off and choose whatever color you want, the maize paint or the blue paint, off the Wolverines without their star player, the player of the year, who's the unanimous All-American. So, yeah, you can understand why Illinois is upset. So getting to Josh Whitman's letter, I thought it was perfectly written. At the end, they're going to put a banner up at State Farm Center, which they should. I can't wait to see what it says. But all it has to say is 16-4, most wins in the Big Ten season, 2020-2021. Enough said. And it should be, because these players earned that.
Yeah, and I was thinking maybe we could have the first ever uncrowned champions banner.
There you go.
And Connor's suggestion is to put it up next year when Michigan visits us and cement an old rivalry from back in 1989 when there was a lot of reasons for the frustration of Illini fans. And let's get that thing heated up again. It looks like Juwan Howard has that team ready to go. I know when I read through it, I thought it was really well stated. And I thought that he, you know, took a lot of the emotion out of it. But the paragraph that really meant, that really, as I read it, jumped out to me off the page was, and I'm going to go ahead and quote him because he did such a good job. But when Josh said, you know, we should not have to have had to advocate for ourselves, this is the right outcome for the Big Ten and one that it should have proactively sought. But nonetheless, we were left to fight our own battle. And despite our advocacy, I learned late yesterday that our efforts were unsuccessful. Michigan will remain outright champions. And I thought that that really would probably hit a nerve with a lot of people just because of the adjustments that were made for Ohio State in the fall from a football standpoint. And we all know why those adjustments were made. They were made because Indiana wasn't going to make it into the very lucrative playoff. And the Big Ten did the money play. And I'm not saying that I would not have done that. But I think that type of play followed up by this one is really mystifying, especially when you look at the fact, again, a lot of us are multi-sport fans. And when you look at the baseball records, Illinois would have won that. If the season had ended in Major League Baseball with those records, Illinois would have been the champion. And this is about the first time I've ever really seen anything like that. So I thought that one thing where, you know, you think of a conference as being an affiliation of schools that are there together to be stronger as a group than they are as one. And you would not expect one team to have to push so hard to get their point of view heard, especially when there's precedence in other sports.
Well, and I think this goes back to, and I've really tried to stay away from pointing fingers directly to anyone at the Big Ten. The commissioner, who's fairly new in this job, and there's been plenty of people doing that in terms of, you know, what Commissioner Delaney built and how Commissioner Warren is handling this. But, you know, there's a spin for everything. And the fact that the Big Ten Conference has been silent on all of this. I got into an exchange on Twitter about a guy who was saying, well, Michigan didn't decide this. The Big Ten decided this. The medical people decided this in terms of the scheduling. Where's that statement? Where's the statement now to say, listen, I've heard the complaints of certain schools. We're going to stick with this, and here's why. That goes a long way. And for some reason, that's not out there. You know, it's funny that, you know, I've always had a saying that if you don't tell your story, you allow somebody else to tell the narrative for you. And that's with anything. And that's what's happening right now. Because the Big Ten does not stand up and say, we're doing this because X, Y, and Z, it allows everyone else to fill in the gaps. And that becomes reality. So that's what we're faced with right now. And what disappoints me as a lifelong Big Ten fan is that I like to go around the country saying that the Big Ten's better than that. The Big Ten wouldn't do that. That conference might, that league might, that commissioner could, but the Big Ten wouldn't do that. And I think that's what's disappointing. One thing you mentioned, Josh Whitman, you know, talked about in there, he said, listen, we don't want to take anything away from Michigan. They're a fantastic team. They're a champion. They're going to go deep in the NCAA tournament, and we'll be there supporting them. But you should do a co-championship. And he said, last year we had three co-champions, and I talked to those. None of the schools felt like it was less of a title as they were getting fitted for their rings and designing their banners because other schools are doing the same thing. And I think that's what he's looking for, was not to take anything away from Michigan, but reward Illinois for what they did. And here's the thing. To your point, there'll be people who say, oh, you Illinois fans, like we wrote in the Respect article, yada, yada. Take out Illinois. Let's say it's Iowa. Let's say it's Ohio State. Let's say it's Penn State. It's the same argument. You got a team that won 16 games, actually finished a half game ahead of Michigan, and yet they're not even co-champions. And I think because this is such a unique, unprecedented situation, as we've already discussed, that goes across the board. And so that allows you that leeway to say they are your co-champs. So I do like what he also said, which is what I said in the respect piece, is that you go out and quote Jake Taylor from Major League and you go win the whole thing. I'm taking a word out there because I want to keep this clean. Go out and win the whole thing. Keep winning. And I think this is a team right now. Illinois is playing as well as anybody. And this is just another, the chip on their shoulder gets larger, it seems, with each passing day. I think you guys would agree with that.
Yeah, and I like the chip on the shoulder. And, you know, I just wish we had won the one-on-one matchup that would make it more. Oh, that's right. We did. That's right. They went out there without their best player and won by 23 and then finished a half game up. But I will tell you, to be honest with you, in the short term, I would rather have the team have a chip on their shoulder that coach can be frustrated about and the team can be frustrated about. Now, I know we've kind of locked Connor out here, so I'm going to let him say a couple things.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I would rather have the team be better for the upcoming situation that we're going to have. You know, the Big Ten tournament is going to be certainly – better now that we're going to deal with this. I mean, Illinois, I would favor them personally to win the Big Ten championship tournament. But I mean, to a certain extent, the Big Ten championship really doesn't have as much value as it used to with the unbalanced schedules anyway. I mean, Wisconsin was not a top three team in the Big Ten last year, and they were co-champions with Michigan State and Maryland. And I think anybody could see that with the results that we can see now with the exact same roster this year, a year older, they are not even close to being in contention. And that shows you that there's something wrong with the way they're scheduling certain teams each year. I mean, there has to be a way for it to be at least a little bit closer in that regard. But they should have been co-champions, and that's stating it lightly because I personally would want it all for Illinois. I mean, I think they're the best team in the conference by far, and I think they proved it in that game. But there's more value, I think, in making a far run. So if all this does, if we go out there and we hang a championship, is that going to take away from the boys on the team that know that they are the best team in the conference and that they can go out there and they can prove it in this Big Ten tournament, and no one's going to take it away when we hang our banner? Big Ten isn't showing up to take that banner away, and they'll know for the rest of their lives that they're the best team in the Big Ten. So I feel for them in terms of maybe they're not getting as much respect outside of their own that they have to, you know, manifest themselves in terms of they know the value that they put into, they know the work that they put in, and they know they're the best team in the Big Ten. But if you do what you can do in the future, there it won't even matter that that's not even the case. So
and Cotter, I agree with you. And to add to that, you know, what a beautiful serendipity if you're national champs and you're Big Ten tournament champs. And, you know, I mean, you can say you can have that. We all know the real deal. I really want to see Illinois win the Big Ten tournament, kind of the same reasons you talked about, but that way the narrative changes going into the NCAA tournament, because that's a game that's going to be on CBS. It will be only the second game Illinois will play on CBS when Michigan has already played three regular season. And I point that out because they're the granddaddy, you know, that's the station, still the network that carries all the games. They'll have their top level production staff on there. That's going to already know the story. This story will be told on CBS, unlike an ESPN game. Well, they'll be discussing Duke and North Carolina during an Illinois game. They're actually going to talk about the Illinois-Michigan argument. You know what I mean? So the beautiful thing about this is if Illinois comes through and does what we think they can do and win the tournament, that'll be the narrative that goes into it, because the entire nation watches the Big Ten championship game on Sunday afternoon because it's the game that precedes Selection Sunday. So, you know, there's some real beauty that could come out of this, and I hope it does.
I'm going to go a little bit esoteric here, but, you know, when you look at the definition of leadership, which is the ability to influence or guide other individuals, teams, or entire organizations, you know, I know people point the finger at the commissioner, and Commissioner Warren, and maybe he's a victim of following Delaney, who is arguably maybe the best commissioner that a conference has ever had, especially when you look at his almost prescient ability to dream up things in his mind and enact them that people hadn't even thought of yet, such as the Big Ten Network. You know, we all remember when he talked about doing that and everybody's like, oh, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's not the way things work. And there you have a gentleman who was influencing, leading his entire organization into the future. And we seem to have somebody right now who seems to be, you know, in a leadership moment, tends to go, you know, as they would say, to the mattresses in the old Godfather movie. You know, you can't find him, you can't see him, you can't hear him or touch him. And hopefully this is a learning curve for him and something that he will grow out of. But right now, if I'm looking at his performance, and when you add in the way that football was handled and that decision, it's been something that when you look back has been very sluggish start for him. And certainly many people have had the first rough year in a job and then went on to be fantastic at it. So I'm not at all saying that he can't handle it, but I will say the first year on the job has found him wanting. And part of that is probably because he took over for a legend.
I think that's fair. You know, I really do. And I share that I hope that he goes on and has a 20-year career there and, you know, finishes his tenure as somebody who took what Delaney built and built on it and made it even greater. Absolutely. But you know, you're right that it goes back to, again, because we haven't heard from him or the league office, it leaves this void to be filled in. So it allows people to call him names or question his leadership or question his intelligence, or some have questioned his integrity. I'm not among those to would do that, but it leaves the void. It now happens because we haven't heard from him, and it's too bad. So, you know, I just really hope that, I think it's great that, and we'd also, let me say this too. We also don't know what else was said, has been said in private conversations between Josh Whitman and the Big Ten office, between Brad Underwood and the Big Ten office, and possibly even some other schools as well. So we're not privy to those conversations, but this is something that will go down as not their best year in terms of what they did with football and now with basketball. This is not the way the Big Ten does things. And with you, hopefully, when we get back to normal times, we get back to some normal decision-making as well.
Yep. So enough of that. That's a story that is interesting. There will be a lot of discussion about it as the tournament goes on. I'm not certain if the reality of the situation is, if it amounts to anything. I think how well Illinois shoots the ball, how well they make their free throws, how well they play defense, and how few turnovers they have will mean ultimately much more than this situation. But let's turn our attention to the men's basketball tournament for the Big Ten, which tips off tomorrow with you know, Minnesota and Northwestern going after one another. As we look at some of the games that are coming up here, Larry, we'll get your thoughts first, and then we'll go around to see Connor's. But what are some of the things that you're looking forward to here as the Big Ten tournament tips off tomorrow night at 5:30 on the BTN network?
A couple of things that stick out. One, Minnesota. My goodness, I the free fall from a team that, what, 6 weeks ago was a lock for the NCAA tournament to playing in the first night of the Big Ten tournament. It's amazing, and you wonder what's going on inside that program because they just could never really get it together, be consistent. Illinois standpoint, I was not upset to see Maryland fail in the final day and move into that eighth spot and put Rutgers in the seven. I think it's a better matchup for Illinois. They've already beaten Indiana twice. Indiana's going to try to muck the game up with Illinois. That's what they do. Rutgers will be more of a shootout, but I think that's a game, one of those games, again, we've talked about, that Illinois was right there, but Illinois is a different team now than they were back when they played Rutgers. So I do like them in that matchup. I think Michigan, the other side of the bracket, has a really tough road to the championship game. I mean, you've got Michigan State and Maryland, teams who are playing really well right now. Maryland's just a really good, they're a well-coached team. And you know, we talk about coach of the year and who got shafted. Turgeon, I wouldn't put him in that category, but I thought he did a really good coaching job, because this had been a team that's been very consistent throughout. They had some early losses, so people ignored them. But that's a team that I would not want to face in the quarterfinals. You've got Ohio State there. Purdue is playing as well as anybody right now in that side of the bracket. So I think that Michigan, you know, has got their, they've got their work cut out for them to get to Sunday.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with how you're talking about Minnesota. That is just, of all the teams, that is, they're in a very sticky situation in terms of they don't get enough of the good recruits for their area. And then that, along with the fact that there's just doesn't seem to be any sort of like game plan moving forward. They don't recruit great. And then you have Marcus Carr, who comes on a transfer. You got Liam Robbins, who comes on a transfer. I mean, they're just, their best players are always, it seems to be, transfers, and there's no, like, they don't have any cohesiveness on that roster. It seems like each game you could be getting just a completely different team. And now you're going to be missing Liam Robbins for the Big Ten tournament, and good luck winning a couple games in the Big Ten tournament without your starting center. That's just not a good game plan. And they should honestly probably look at getting Patino probably out of there at the end of this one. But I'm looking forward to, I mean, it looks like Friday you're going to have potentially 8 teams that are all going to be in the tournament. So those are just going to be some great matchups. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, we're going to see the chalk and the top 4 teams can just kind of carry their way through with more talent. But with Iowa missing, you know, potentially missing Joe Wieskamp and Michigan missing Eli Brooks, those are going to be harder games for those teams that are supposed to be favored. I'd say Michigan should probably win regardless, but if it's Michigan State, that's a rivalry game that they kind of disrespected Michigan State the first game. And we saw that Michigan State, they have the talent. It's just whether or not they're going to put it all out there. Mm-hmm. And for Wisconsin against Iowa, that there were some very questionable calls to end that game that led Iowa to that victory in the first place so that they could secure the 3 seed. I mean, I'm not a Brad Davidson fan, but that play was not a hook and hold when you're getting pushed from behind and your arm kind of grabs someone a little bit. I'm sorry, that's not a technical foul, and especially not with less than a minute to go and you at the free throw line cutting it down to 1 point.
I'm having a Missouri flashback.
So I would honestly, I mean, I know Wisconsin's not as talented as they probably thought coming into the season, but I would not be surprised if they could come out there and make that a pretty close game, if not win. And if they do, I like Illinois' chances to pretty much walk into the conference championship game, because I don't think Wisconsin matches up well with Illinois. Of all the matchups on Friday, I probably would say Ohio State-Purdue is probably going to be my favorite one. I mean, Purdue's hot. I'll give them that in terms of, like, they have the wins recently. But in terms of who they played in those games, I'm not sure it's exactly as hot as, say, Illinois is with 11 for 12 and beating 3 top 25 teams on the road. Purdue won both matchups earlier in the season, but they were close games, and I think that's kind of going to fire up Ohio State, considering they lost, you know, a close one to Michigan State, a close one to Illinois, and another one close to, I believe, Michigan State. So they're not getting blown out other than the Iowa game to anybody. So this is a team that can win. It's just whether or not those last couple minutes can be cleaned up.
Connor, let me ask you this. The Edey kid, the big 7-footer, for Purdue, who's really made great strides. Boy, Matt Painter did such a great job with his bigs over there in West Lafayette. What kind of difference do you think he makes in that matchup with Ohio State? That's not a very big team. And he's got some decent footwork and it's kind of shown an ability to get to the rim and score. Could he be the X factor in that game?
He certainly could for Purdue. He's, I mean, as you said, he's probably the biggest guy in the Big Ten. I mean, it seems like Purdue's always got someone that's 7 foot plus, you know, going back to Isaac Haas before. It's going to be interesting to see how Ohio State tries to match up with him, because they don't exactly have a true five within their starting lineup. They could go a lot more Zed Key, which obviously if you're a fan of Curbelo, they played high school together. The dude's got some good footwork. He's, I wouldn't say he's big, big. He's probably 6'10 and about probably 245, 250. But he just knows how to position his body and not let people get into the paint. He'll prevent you from getting that easy positioning. And if Zach Edey catches the ball a little bit higher, he does have a propensity to move before he really gets into his actual movement going towards the hoop, which can result in a lot of travels. And sometimes he just kind of gets another player can swipe down and get the ball because he's kind of already into his motion going to the hoop. But ultimately, I think guard play is probably going to win that one. And whether or not Dwayne Washington can kind of hone in and take advantage of Jaden Ivey, who had one of his breakout games against Ohio State earlier this season, I feel like that's going to be the matchup that really separates the two.
Okay.
Who do you think, just out of curiosity, Connor, who do you think is going to guard EJ Liddell for Purdue? How would you handle dealing with Liddell, who has been such a rock for that Ohio State offense?
That is also an interesting question, because I wouldn't say Illinois' strategy of keeping Kofi on him really worked as well as maybe Brad Underwood had hoped in their two matchups. It seems like Liddell plays out of his mind. So I'm not sure I would put Travion Williams, because he's going to have such a load on the other end of the court, whereas Kofi can kind of just like allow Io to do his thing and clean up the boards. He's not going to be the person that's facilitating the offense in the half court. So I'd say probably either Mason Gillis or Aaron Wheeler will probably be on him for a decent amount. How well they do will determine whether or not Travion needs to switch onto him earlier. But if one of those two can kind of prevent him from maybe getting as clean of looks in the high post area to all the way out to the 3-point line, that can certainly make it a little bit more difficult than what he's had recently.
I know, Larry, it was kind of funny. I was looking at that Friday, and what an incredible day this tournament could offer for basketball fans. You know, you lead off with – and I'm not trying to offend Maryland fans, but you lead off with a possible Michigan State for the third time in less than 2 weeks. That game is going to be interesting no matter how you want to play it. Then you end up with what I think is also the game of the day, Ohio State versus Purdue. And then you could end up with Rutgers, a team who beat Illinois, getting a chance to prove that it wasn't a fluke. And then you could end up with a Wisconsin-Iowa rematch of a game that, again, I'm not saying – I think Iowa is the better team. But it's a team that's a game that Wisconsin is going to come into with all the confidence in the world. And we're not even talking about what could be on the other channels. We're just talking about the Big Ten tournament. I mean, that would be that is just a unbelievable day. And then you switch into Saturday, which could be, like I said, phenomenal as well. But when you look at this tournament, I'm not certain that any other conference in the country can put together a day like you're seeing on Friday, March 12th, that'll start at, 10:30 in the morning with that potential Michigan tip off and probably be closing off somewhere at 10:30 at night. And people are going to go to bed exhausted, but I think they're going to be satisfied with some fantastic basketball, with the only one caveat: as long as we don't see any Big Ten refs going to town to take over a game. And we've seen some rough ones this year, and hopefully those referees will either not be calling games, or they will be on a very short leash, because nobody in this great nation tunes into those games to watch old guys blow whistles.
I agree. It's funny, Mike, the whole time you're saying that I'm thinking, but the refs. You're exactly right. Well, I mean, let's face it, you know, nobody else is going to have, I think at this point, 9 teams in the NCAA. And it's really neat that it's all in BTN this year. You know, in past, you've always had a couple of games in ESPN. You switch over at night to BTN, put on BTN and just let it ride all day long with all these games. And you're right. I mean, you're going to see probably, unless there's, you know, an upset, you're going to see 8 teams who are going to be playing the next weekend in Indianapolis. And that's really cool. You know, the Big Ten, and I think what the disappointing thing about the, you know, the stuff with the conference championship and the uneven scheduling and all the questions and why do they do this, whatever, it's taken away from what has really been one of the, you know, the most incredible conference basketball seasons we've ever seen in college basketball. And that's the disappointing part about when, again, you don't handle things the right way, not to get into beating that dead horse again, but because it's such a great league and you got such great teams, so many amazing styles. And I think that's why you're going to have teams like Illinois and Michigan and Ohio State and Iowa being considered to go deep in the tournament because they've already seen it all. You've got the veteran coaches, you've got top national players, all Americans, players of the year that you faced, veteran defenses. You know, I mean, you know, these aren't 19-year-old kids that are you know, ready to, as soon as they lose, they're going to go climb into a porch somewhere and head off to the draft. I mean, that doesn't happen here in the Big Ten. So these are people, these are players and coaches that really know what they're capable of and they're veteran. And that's what makes this tournament so, it makes the Big Ten tournament so exciting, but to your point, it makes this year's tournament really special. And even when you get teams like a Minnesota or a Northwestern, Nebraska's a team play well late despite an incredibly difficult schedule. They're a team that even though they're in last place, I would not want to play in this type of format. So it's going to be special. And I think that we'll see, you know, hopefully we'll see a special ending. I think the Big Ten Conference and all of the men and women who make up this conference deserve that, had that kind of finish.
I was curious. So you said you think the Big Ten is going to get 9. Do you believe that both Michigan State and Maryland, you don't believe that the potentially the loser could somehow get left out based on, you know, Maryland might have had a couple of rough losses at the end and Michigan State had a couple of rough losses at the beginning of conference play?
Personally, I've got Maryland in. I think Michigan State at the moment is in, but I think they're the wild card. I think they're definitely 8 teams. But I think Michigan, you know, we've talked about, if you talk about Illinois moving up to a 1 seed because they just beat 3 AP top 25 teams on the road in succession, Michigan State in the last 2 weeks, they beat Illinois, they beat Ohio State, and they beat Michigan. Only one of those on the road, but that's one of those where we talked about before, resume-wise, when you compare in terms of their numbers and the analytics, you go, they're the odd man. They're the one that doesn't, which one of these doesn't belong, doesn't look like the others. But when you get in that committee meeting, do they have enough that they've done in terms of their body of work and the wins they've had here going down the stretch? And the fact that they came off the COVID layoff, that's going to figure into it. They came out of that, stunk up the joint, but found their way back in and had these big wins. If they can beat a Maryland on Thursday, that probably is the final piece for them. So that's why I say I would go 8, and I think Michigan State's the wild card that still probably needs at least one more win. But they're a team that, again, numbers-wise, I don't think should get in, but you can't argue with the teams they beat in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would certainly, looking at them, I mean, they had, I'm just not sure how much individual games factor into that net formula that the NCAA says they're going to follow. Because, I mean, when they came off the COVID break, they lost a game by 30 to Rutgers, where they had like 38 points or something absurd low that reminded me of Bruce Weber way too much. And I just don't know how much that really, like, do we believe that that number should pull down their overall net rating when I've seen them compete with the best of the best in the Big Ten? And they had another game where they, I want to say it was maybe a game or two after the Rutgers, that they were getting absolutely trounced by Iowa at home. And I don't really take much weight into losing two or three games by 30, 35 points if you can be competitive in the other ones.
Yeah, it's one of those, when you look at the committee, they will always say they're going to do X, Y, and Z, and they don't always. You know, when it comes down to the final two or three, and I know I've done this since 1998, there are years I've gotten all 68 teams right. There are teams I've missed two or three. And those two or three are every year. It's funny. I won't look at any of the experts. I don't want to see what they do. I don't want them to mess up what I'm doing. But I'll go look later and I'll see where they miss two or three, but it was a different two or three. I mean, it's like when you get down to that final, those final 10 teams, those final three spots, it becomes a conversation and, you know, and there's dialogue involved. And so to your point, I think when you, again, we look at the numbers, you know, did they do enough in terms of the net and all that? Probably not. But I can envision in that conference room saying, yeah, but look what they just did. And they beat this team and this team. They'll start listing them off. And so that's where I think it's still 50-50 if they get in or not, because you just don't know how subjective the committee is going to be. And on top of that, a couple of the things very quickly, you can't compare year to year. I've had those conversations before on other boards where somebody would say, well, yeah, but last year so-and-so did this. I'm like, every year is different. You can't compare one year to the other. And then the second thing is not just that part, but you also, and I lost my train of thought. Isn't that great? But you, for the first time today, no, actually, for some of the
we were in
hour,
the year to year,
you can't. That's one thing. And then the second thing, too, is that, again, you don't know who else it depends on what. Thank you. That's got me back on track. Thank you, Mike. Checks in the mail. You have to have other resumes that are better. And yep. So the question is there that other resume that stands out and says, well, Michigan State's here, but this team is definitively better. And here's why. And it's kind of the same logic we use, why we know right now, Illinois is a one seed. They could lose Friday and they'll be a one seed because their resume, there's no other resume of Ohio State or Iowa or West Virginia or Alabama, all currently in the two line. None of those resumes are better than what Illinois just did. So it's kind of the old factors kind of going to play if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it's relative compared to the other teams that are there that are also fighting for the same bids. And I'd agree. I would probably take Michigan State based on eye test alone, regardless of what the metrics say. I think they're definitely one of the top 68 teams. And I certainly, if I'm a five or a four seed, I'm really hoping that they're not my first round matchup.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And on top of that, they're in the Big Ten. And so I think that also is some weight that they say conference doesn't matter. But this year, the way the Big Ten is played, it's going to come into being a factor. You know, I think if Purdue reaches the semifinals, you could make an argument as a three seed for Purdue. I think they're locked into four. But again, those conversations happen and you just don't know where they say, look at what they've done. They beat Ohio State at home. Yeah, it's last second basket, 5 seconds left. But those are all the conversations that come in. And that's what makes this fun. That's why it's March Madness.
So do we have any other points here on the Big Ten tourney as we look to kind of wrap it up for let people move on with their day?
I have one other one. So you say that you believe Illinois is locked into a one seed. So say I lay out a scenario here. Say Iowa wins against Wisconsin. Illinois beats Rutgers. Iowa beats Illinois in the semifinal. And then Iowa beats, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, or Purdue. Is that enough to put Iowa into potentially taking the last one seed from Illinois with, you know, three wins against top 25 teams in the tournament?
You could make that argument. And I think that is a possibility that I think that exists. I think Illinois is still there in terms of what they've done down the stretch. They would have won 11 of 13. They would have won three of those games without their unanimous All-American. Three of those games were at the end against AP top 25 teams. They come in with a 5-game win streak against AP top 25 teams. Now rankings don't matter. Let's get that out of the way too. But I believe that if they come in and they beat a Michigan in the title game, does that give them enough quad one wins to go over Illinois? I that's a good question. That's the one possibility. I've got Iowa right now as my 7 on my S curve. Is that enough to jump over? That's possible. I think Illinois is locked in, but I will never tell you that I'm perfect.
So would we as Illinois fans be sweating, you know, finding out we're going to be in Gonzaga or Baylor's region potentially if we don't win the game in the semifinals?
You know, that's possible. Here's at the same time, if Illinois beats Rutgers, let's say it's Rutgers, that's another quad one win.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lose to Iowa, if Iowa beats Michigan, you go, well, okay, well, we beat Michigan. You know, I mean, at their place by 23 without Iowa. I mean, that's why I think the way Illinois finished their season would make it really tough. Now, again, I'm not on the committee, so anything is possible. And you bring up a very, very interesting possibility. And being Illinois fans, if that comes to pass, yes, we'll be by all of us biting our nails until about 6:08 when the top four number ones are announced.
Yeah, I'll certainly say I want to beat Iowa just to make sure, because you got to put them down when you can.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You don't. They made such a big run late. You don't want to be. You don't leave anything in question. You know, and at the same time, you know, I mean, Gonzaga, you know, hangs on. They're going to be undefeated going in. You know, they win their conference title. You know, could Baylor slip? I don't think they slipped 3 spots. So it's possible. I'm going to stick with my guns, not just because I'm an Illinois fan, but I do think Illinois has the one. But we'll see what happens.
Any other last comments there, Larry, before we wrap here?
You know, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to actually applaud the Big Ten because we've spent a lot of time bashing the Big Ten in recent weeks. And listen, it's deserved. But kudos to the Big Ten for moving the tournament out of Chicago weeks ago to Indianapolis to give all the Big Ten teams the best advantage they can, the protocols they've had all season, to put them in place right now where they're going to be, you know, probably everyone's already there now, I would think, and quarantine, whatever you got to do to be ready to make sure that these teams are all ready to play when they tip off next Thursday with the first 4. You know, there's still that possibility out there of having 4 teams that they may pull out and put in, and if there's some issues with protocol, whatever. Let's give the Big Ten credit for looking ahead and saying this is not a good situation to be in Chicago. We'll come back to you next year. Let's get to Indy. And I just like that all the Big Ten teams right now are in their hotel rooms and they are locked into the city until they're done in the NCAA. So I give them credit for that.
Excellent. So Larry, thank you. Connor, thank you. This is Mike Kegley. A couple things I want to throw out there real quick. Obviously, IlliniGuys.com, whether you're an Illini fan who lives in Champaign, whether you live in Chicago, if you're halfway across the country or halfway across the world, we're the place that you get all the inside Illini information. Please go to our website, subscribe. We would love to have you, and we'd be honored to have you as one of our subscribers. The other thing is you can listen to our podcast, Eye on the Illini. We come out between 1 and 3 times a week, depending on when we can all get things done and when the news warrants it. You can also hear us on a variety of radio stations. We're often on 590 The Fan in St. Louis. We're also on WJBC and some of its sister stations, 1230 AM in Bloomington, Illinois. So certainly listen to us there if you get the opportunity. And finally, we have our Bracket Buster Challenge, $1,000 in prizes. See how good you are. We have a lot of people who like to talk about how accurate they are at picking winners in the tournament. Well, this time, if you're a subscriber, you get an entry and you have an opportunity to be a part of claiming your fair share of that $1,000. So we urge people, if you're thinking about subscribing, this is the time to do it, because you might as well put some picks on paper and get yourself way more than what your subscription costs in return. All you have to do is use your expertise. So we want expertise and acumen. So if you're a person who thinks you have that, please subscribe. And we would love to have you. And finally,
Hey, Mike, one question. Can I take part in that?
No, you can't. Unfortunately, we found that if we're staff, we can't win.
Oh,
so that's another of the continuing frustrations of Brad Sturdy.
If I buy a subscription, can I get in then?
You can buy a subscription, Larry, but you still can't get in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I know. We are a very tough and highly ethically motivated company.
Connor, you got to work on Mike there. He's just not bending. He's stickler of the rules. I'm trying, but okay. All right. Yeah. I'll play nice.
All right. Good. But the other thing that we have is we do have a few other podcasts. So our other co-founder and co-owner, Brad Sturdy, he has Sturdy for 30. Of course, it's just like Eye on the Illini. It's available everywhere. If you're not following and subscribing to his podcast, you're really missing out on a lot of stuff. So please, look for his. And then as a final podcast, we also do Eye on the Lines. And by lines, we are talking about if somebody was wanting to hypothetically think about wagering money, they talk about fun hypothetical situations on there. It's hosted by Brandon Wildman, and Connor Kegley is also co-hosting at times, and they will go through the best games, and then they will give you reasons to think about, like, oh, this team is good at that, this team is weak at the other thing, and they talk about how that might hypothetically affect you if you were wanting to have some fun with those type of things. Although we do not condone betting, and certainly we are not trying to encourage anybody to take our advice, but it's still fun for those of you who like to spend your time doing that as well. So again, for the Illini guys, I'm Mike Kegley, and we're going to say thank you for listening, and we will talk to you soon.